Here are the WGXC headlines for Thursday, March 9th. Tucker Carlson has spent this week on his Fox News show trying to persuade viewers that the attempted coup they saw on television January 6, 2021 did not actually happen. But text messages revealed in a lawsuit show him saying of the former president who the attempted coup was meant to restore, quote, "I hate him passionately," unquote. President Joe Biden's budget proposal aims to cut the deficit nearly $3 trillion over the next 10 years. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell, 81, was hospitalized March 8th after tripping at a hotel, a spokesperson for the Kentucky senator said. California Governor Gavin Newsom ended a $54 million contract with Walgreens on March 8th after the pharmacy giant pledged not to sell an abortion pill by mail in some conservative-led states. A judge struck down Poughkeepsie's good cause eviction law on March 8th, just like in Kingston, Newburgh, and Beacon, saying only the state can pass such a law protecting tenants. On March 9th, Columbia County's public transportation service expands, adding a new run of its shopping shuttle bus from 6:45 a.m. to 8 a.m. Monday through Saturday, and another on Sundays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. New York's Education Department is considering changes to state regulations on restraint and seclusion in the schools. The Hudson schools are looking for anyone interested in joining the Hudson School Climate and Safety Advisory Committee to send a letter of interest by March 9th to Board of Education Clerk Ms. Tracy Gaffney at gaffneyt@hudsoncsd.org.
Hi, this is Danette Gorman from HelpSyriasKids.org. We are connecting the Hudson community with a Syrian refugee camp in Katarmaya, Lebanon. You're listening to WGXC Acra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we've got all sorts of sounds and songs and stories for you today. We'll hear from Jonathan Bix, the executive director of the For the Many activist group that's announcing it's moving into Columbia County. We'll also hear new music from Algiers and Dry Cleaning and others, and we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after Jason Martin from Troy has finished singing this song on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Network on air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Emily Shimidis of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Thursday, March 9th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that Republicans in the state may not hold a majority in the legislature to have their way with the budget, but they still want folks to know what they would do if they were in charge. Senate Minority Leader Robert Ort said on March 8th, they call their plan the Rescue New York Agenda, and their proposals include cuts in taxes and boosting the state's business climate. They also want to make sure that more people accused of a crime, but innocent until proven guilty, are held in jail. And Republicans say that if they were in charge, they would increase efforts to combat opioid addiction and aid veterans and military families. Democrats, because they hold the majority in the Assembly and the State Senate, must pass a budget for Governor Kathy Hochul to sign by the end of the month. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. The Troy Record reports that Rensselaer County schools are getting bus patrol cameras in school buses that automatically send tickets to anyone illegally passing a school bus. The Hoosick Falls Central, Skodak Central, Berlin Central, Averill Park Central, Brunswick Central, East Greenbush Central, and Winston-Salem Union Free School Districts have signed up for the program. East Greenbush Central School District Superintendent Jeff Simmons said, quote, "Each year we receive several reports from our bus drivers regarding cars passing our school buses when the stop arm is engaged. We hope that the implementation of this new technology at no cost to our taxpayers will deter such actions on the part of drivers and keep our students safe," unquote. The same bus patrol program was recently launched in Albany County and Dutchess County. Car owners passing a bus and spotted by the cameras get a fine of $250, with the bus patrol company keeping part of the money. Read more about this story in the Troy Record. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports for the Times Union that the issue of whether judges can order defendants to be electronically monitored while awaiting trial is part of the election for Columbia County Judge. Brian Herman, an attorney and former City of Hudson Justice running for Columbia County Judge as a Democrat, has made it an issue. Herman sent Republican Columbia County Board of Supervisors Chair Matt Morrell a letter asking the county's leadership to allow electronic monitoring. He wrote, quote, "Adding electronic monitoring to a judge's toolbox allows the judge to the ability to honor the full intent of New York State's bail reform bill, while giving the judge the ability to ensure that those who are facing criminal charges return to court," unquote. Counties, not defendants, must pay for the program, which Greene County does, with the probation department overseeing the program. Morrell wrote Herman back saying that the Columbia County's, quote, "decision to not make use of electronic monitoring for pretrial defendants has, to date, proven effective for all involved," unquote. Besides Herman, Republican Robert Gibson, a former county prosecutor and the commissioner of the County Department of Social Services, Republican Assistant District Attorney Joyce Crawford, and Democrat Michael Howard, the county's first assistant public defender, are running for two open judge seats in Columbia County this year. Read more about the story in the Times Union. Michael DeMassey in the Albany Business Review reports that the Trader Joe's store has purchased the retail plaza on Wolf Road in Colony, where it has leased the storefront for the past 11 years. Representatives of the company could not be reached for comment if they plan to expand the store into other spaces in the plaza. The California-based grocery chain bought the property for $5.03 million, according to a deed filed March 2nd in the Albany County Clerk's Office. The Benderson Development of Florida bought the 2.3-acre plaza 2 years ago for $4.82 million. Read more about this story in the Albany Business Review. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, March 9th. Local early morning temperatures range from 22 degrees in Tannersville to 32 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 34 degrees. Today is a little better than yesterday. Hitting a high note of 42 at 3 p.m., conditions will be freezing all day. Cloud cover will be heavy and winds, while weaker than yesterday, will still be persistent. So bundle up if you are heading out. A refreeze happens a bit before midnight, so nighttime travelers should be aware. We then dip to 25 degrees before dawn on Friday. Anyone feeling a draft for the past couple days finally gets a break as winds become calm and temperatures reach 42 degrees at 3 p.m. Then the party is over by 6 p.m. People in the listening area are likely to see rain that turns to snow after dark. Looks like maybe 2 inches will fall around here and possibly another inch or so in the New Paltz and Woodstock territory. That all should end around noon on Saturday, and we will get a high of 40 degrees. Blowing snow may be an issue for travelers, so watch out. 24 degrees overnight takes us into a relatively nice-looking Sunday with a high of 45 degrees, calm winds, and partly sunny skies. Sunset today will be at 5:40 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:14 a.m. Looking way up, we see things are relatively calm. Some sunspots are active, keeping X-class flare chances at 10%. Solar wind speed is currently 452 kilometers per second at 9.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair all the way down below 60 MHz overnight. Above is probably going to be good too, but you shouldn't be transmitting there. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4.3, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 146, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
At last, a do-it-yourself fallout shelter from
Survive All.
A shelter that will adequately protect you and your family from the devastating effects of
nuclear fallout and falling debris.
A survive-all shelter is engineered and designed for simple assembly, takes just a weekend's time, and is civil defense approved.
Survive-all basement-type shelters are FHA approved. No money down, up to 5 years to pay.
Learn how easy it is to assemble a survive-all, do-it-yourself fallout shelter today.
The time is now. Protect your family against atomic attack and deadly nuclear fallout. See a survive-all shelter today.
Catacombs will watch you fall. Pull it up, seat it up, get it with me. storm. Time of a negative beat gone, and my peace torn in an alley, abandoned and murdered and reborn in a beat form. And breathless, and I exhale, then I rearm, and a spin won't stop. Nazi pop opera, they found a flock. Now I'm looking for a roadblock. Padlocks, pants and socks, place to wash this pain off, and a mirror cracks and a face off, and I've seen enough.
PlayStation 5, beanbags, bingo, and a PlayStation 5. The premise is we're stuck down a mine, and now you choose who you want to save. That pub where all those things happened is just called Moon now, some kind of burger thing. A yellow system with a big bolt reminds me of the sports center. Under your layers of paint, I see an H. Misty. Can you hear me? Beanbags, bingo, and a PlayStation. Ashamed, they weren't, they weren't. We thought they might be ashamed, but they weren't. Look, contact me for all kinds of spells, bring bags of smashings, then we'll cast in concrete. PlayStation 5, PlayStation 5. PlayStation 5. In a concrete phone call. where can I buy a UK prison ball? I'm refreshing. Bear witness, pass no comment, simply be there to see it. The citrus fruit back to its brilliant best.
2023 music from Dry Cleaning. The song is called Swampy on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The department has concluded that there is reasonable cause to believe that Louisville Metro and LMPD engaged in a pattern or practice of conduct that violates the First and Fourth Amendments of the Constitution.
3 years after Breonna Taylor was shot and killed by police officers in her apartment, Attorney General Merrick Garland announced the findings of a civil rights investigation into the Louisville Metro Police Department, saying the city and its police department violated the constitutional rights of its citizens, especially those of African Americans. Director of National Intelligence Avril Haines spoke before the Senate Intelligence Committee during the panel's annual Public Worldwide Threats hearing. Haines called the Chinese Communist Party the most consequential threat to U.S. national security.
The People's Republic of China, which is increasingly challenging the United States economically, technologically, politically, and militarily around the world, remains our unparalleled priority.
Haines said during the past year, the threat has been complicated by a deepening collaboration between China and Russia. Florida Senator Marco Rubio also expressed concern about TikTok and argued the popular Chinese-owned video app is a national security risk which the country hasn't faced in the past.
The data, the ability to manipulate information, I would imagine that it's probably one of the most valuable surveillance tools on the planet.
Former CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield was one among various scientific experts speaking before the House Select Subcommittee investigating the origins of COVID-19. Redfield has long supported what is known as the lab leak hypothesis.
I still believe today that it indicates that COVID-19 more likely was the result of an accidental lab leak than a result of a natural spillover event.
The explanation traces the virus back to a medical research facility in Wuhan, China, which worked with coronaviruses. The House Foreign Affairs Committee held its first hearing to examine how the Biden administration handled the evacuation from Afghanistan. 23-year-old Marine Sergeant Tyler Vargas Andrews recalled the suicide bombing at the Kabul airport in the summer of 2021. As a result of the incident, Vargas Andrews lost an arm and a leg in the incident and had undergone multiple surgeries. He had harsh words for how the situation was handled, leaving him and others seriously injured or dead.
The withdrawal was a catastrophe, in my opinion, and there was an inexcusable lack of accountability and negligence.
Vargas Andrews says the attack could have been prevented, as he says the military had knowledge of the intended suicide bomb attack. Finally, on Wednesday, senators on both sides of the aisle voted to block the District of Columbia's updated criminal code from becoming law. The bill has been subject to heavy criticism as some of the provisions lower penalties for a number of violent crimes. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our ATRUST indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. For 31 states, the ERIC Voter Registration Change Database provides real election integrity, not the made-up kind. Now, it's under attack by conspiracy theorists. The Electronic Registration Information Center, commonly known as ERIC, is a nonpartisan, nonprofit cooperative of states which uses sophisticated computer matching to cross-reference voters who've moved, were duplicated, or have died. This helps keep voter rolls up to date and minimizes the chance that someone would vote in more than one place. Its governing board is made up of the state officials themselves. The nonprofit was founded in 2012 with a grant from the Pew Trust. In January, Alabama's incoming Secretary of State withdrew from ERIC, citing protection of its citizens' data. It was followed in March by Florida, Missouri, and West Virginia. Why? The Ohio State House News Bureau reports that a non-voting board member, formerly of Pew Trust, now works for Mark Zuckerberg's foundation, which provided grants to fund municipal election offices during the pandemic. The Associated Press writes that another conspiracy theory claims the original funding from Pew Trust for ERIC came in part from billionaire philanthropist George Soros. Secretaries of State pulling out of the program appear to be bowing to election denier activists and hurting, not improving, election security. We have articles and Eric's FAQs at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Next, let's listen to 2023 new music from Columbia County percussionist, composer, jazz musician, and more, Bobby Previtt. This is Dark Current Mariner 2 on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. All right. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and next on WGXC, we're going to speak with Jonathan Bix, the executive director of the For the Many activist group that has been active in Dutchess, Orange, and Ulster counties recently, and they announced on February 27th they are expanding into Columbia County. Jonathan, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Tom.
Tell us why you're coming to Columbia County.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, we've been working adjacently for a while, but we've also worked with some Columbia County organizations for years on statewide campaigns. We've worked elsewhere in the state legislative districts that include Columbia County for a number of years. And of course, Hudson and Columbia County are facing a lot of the same issues that we've been seeing and working on for a long time elsewhere in the Hudson Valley, including but not limited to the big issue of affordable housing. And we do have some existing supporters that have plugged into our work remotely from the area. So we just thought it made sense given all that and the importance of, you know, taking action around these progressive issues that we work on in the coming years, both at the state level and local level, and how that applies to Hudson and Columbia County.
Yeah, can you tell some of our listeners about the things that you do, the kind of things you do, and the, I guess, specific things that you've gotten done?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll start with our local work and then can talk a bit more about our statewide work. So locally, much of our focus has been on housing. So over the last year or so, we passed Good Cause Eviction in four cities in the Hudson Valley. That has, of course, sort of been challenged in courts. Albany's Good Cause Eviction Law was just overturned yesterday, so that's now a big statewide priority of ours. But that is, you know, a law that we've won in four cities in the Hudson Valley.
The judge said that municipalities can't pass this kind of law, and it has to be a state law, right?
Correct. Correct, yep. And so we're working with other folks around the state to hopefully get that done on the state level this legislative session. We've also worked on expanding the Emergency Tenant Protection Act, or ETPA, which allows municipalities north of New York City to opt into rent stabilization that applies to buildings if they have six or more units and were built before 1974. So if a city opts into that law, what it means is the city then appoints a board that controls if and by how much rents go up in those units. So we helped pass that in Kingston, and we actually recently won in Kingston a 15% rent reduction for buildings that meet that criteria. And we're currently defending that law in court with the help of legal aid, but that was the first time, as far as we know, that a rent reduction has been won anywhere in the state, and we hope to expand ETPA into Hudson and other cities and municipalities in the area, and then also fight for rent reductions there as well. Any questions on the rent stabilization issue before I keep going?
Well, I was just going to note that many of the issues that most of the issues that you're addressing relate to the affordable housing crisis, which is just a huge issue in this the whole area.
And then sort of the other big local campaign we've been working on, which is another housing campaign, is our Homes Are Not Hotels campaign, which is around sort of short-term rental regulation and trying to limit the spread of Airbnbs. And I know a lot of work has already been done on that level in Hudson, but we are hoping to add to it. And specifically, we are trying to work with local lawmakers to ban what we call vacation rentals, which is where the owner doesn't actually live in the rental. And we think there are a huge reason why it's so hard to find, you know, places to rent or to buy. We have a lot of out-of-town investors coming in, buying up entire homes and listing them on Airbnb, you know, as kind of short-term rentals rather than long-term housing. And yeah, you know, we can sort of ban these vacation rentals while still allowing homeowners to rent out extra rooms or floors in their houses, and by doing that, we can still sort of like allow for that, but free up a lot more housing for people that actually live in Hudson. So that's another priority we've been working on locally.
And another major thing you got done was helped get an assembly member elected, right? There was a Democrat in the seat, and you got a Democrat socialist elected to that seat in the primary, and then they won the general election. Is that all correct?
Yep, that's all correct. We're definitely very proud of that work. Sarah Hanna had been somebody that we've been working for a long time on sort of statewide climate issues, and we helped her win her primary election by under 600 votes. And for that race, we made about 76,000 voter contacts by knocking on people's doors, making calls, sending texts. We sent out 80,000 pieces of mail to people's homes, and we made about 445,000 digital impressions through digital advertising on Facebook and Instagram for that campaign.
Yeah, I've been saying that this is a model for campaigns in Columbia and Greene County that don't do this sort of overwhelming grassroots efforts. I mean, I've been telling this story on Election Day. I had a dentist appointment in Ulster County, and I took a back route to get to where I was going, and there were folks with Sarah Hanna Shrestha signs on this back route in Ulster County on Election Day, where I would not expect them to be, because they were everywhere in Ulster County.
Yeah.
I guess some of that was you guys, right?
Yep, it was an amazing grassroots campaign. That was, you know, not just us, it was also the SA and the Working Families Party, but we did play quite a large role in the campaign.
So are you, what specific issues are you looking at in Columbia County if you move here? Because it's a little bit of an if, because you want to raise some money to open an office and hire a staff in Columbia County, right?
Yes, that's all correct. And if people want to read sort of more about that and see the sort of capacity we need before we can expand, they can go to forthemoney.org or find us on social media at Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. And read more about that. So sort of in Hudson, as I mentioned, we would love to do ETPA expansion to strengthen short-term rental regulation, and we also want to plug people in Hudson and also outside of Hudson and broader Columbia County into our statewide campaigns as well. And we work on a number of issues at the state level, but our top priorities we talk about is our homes, energy, and wages platform. And so the homes piece is passing the Our Homes, Our Power legislative package, which includes statewide good cause eviction, which, again, is one of our top priorities, and would protect tenants from unjust evictions and rent hikes. In terms of energy, our number one priority at the state level is passing the Build Public Renewables Act, which, you know, is something that Sarah Hanna ran on and is a huge priority of hers, and that would direct New York State to build renewable energy projects and be able to sell them directly to families and sell energy at a reduced rate compared to current private utility companies. And then a last big priority in the state level for wages is to pass the Raise the Wage Act, which would increase the state minimum wage to $21.25 by 2027 and also index it to inflation so that in the future it increases automatically as cost of living go up.
So I got to ask you a news, breaking news sort of question. You're moving to Columbia County. There is an assembly member who is a Democrat, but kind of conservative. And, you know, their activists protested outside of her office last year because of she did not support some of these housing policies that you've been talking about this morning. And the more progressive mayor of Hudson, who still needs to run for his third term this year, is talking already about challenging Dede Barrett in the next assembly election. Are you have you been in discussion with Kamal Johnson, the mayor of Hudson, about that, or Dede Barrett about these issues?
Yeah, so we have definitely been very disappointed by Dede Barrett's lack of action around those critical issues. She hasn't signed on to any of those priority bills yet, has taken a number of votes in the past that we think are overly conservative and doesn't well represent her district. So we hope that, you know, in the near future that she sort of changes her stances on our key key priorities. And I will say we do have a very strong relationship with Kamal Johnson, met with him recently. And, yeah, all indications we sort of have are that we're very much aligned in terms of priority issues. So, yeah, I mean, we, you know, eventually go through endorsement processes for all races, you know, that we're a part of. And we're still a little bit out from our 2024 endorsement processes, but definitely keeping an eye on that very closely.
Now, our radio station is covers all of Greene and Columbia counties, little Massachusetts and little Dutchess and Ulster with its signal, but mostly Greene and Columbia. I think we're the only organization or facility in the area that has its name with Greene before Columbia. Everybody else is Columbia Greene College, Columbia Greene this, Columbia Greene that. We are WGXC, which stands for Greene and Columbia. So our question to you is, why just Columbia County? Greene County is ripe for the pickings. There's a giant environmental plant that's going to wreak havoc around Prattsville, proposed. And in Caro, the town supervisor is either totally incompetent or breaking the law. He's not told people the truth about the tax rate for 2 years in a row. He's claiming it's incompetence that their budget is so screwed up that they've been telling people that they're paying a lower tax rate than they actually are and reporting that to the state and all. But the people of Caro don't want to reelect him, and the Democrats aren't even running a candidate against him. And then you guys are not coming to Greene County. You're only coming to Columbia County. What's up with that?
Yeah, well, I would say we aren't ruling out doing work in Greene County. We are playing sort of open and base our office in Hudson, but we're definitely open to doing some work in Catskill and in Greene County. I think it's more that, you know, we need people in Greene County to reach out to us and say they want to take action with us, and if so, we will definitely find ways to make it happen. And again, people can sort of sign up for our list at our website, forthemoney.org. They can reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. But yeah, so I would say it's more that if people in Greene County are, you know, reaching out to us and asking to take action, then we're very open to doing work in Greene County as well.
And you're partnering with the Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition, which is partially based in Greene County, and the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. So Columbia County sort of has more infrastructure for an activist group of your sort, right?
Right, absolutely. And yeah, those were the groups I was referring to earlier, Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition, Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. You know, we've worked with them for a number of years. They're very close with amazing people there, like Claire Cousin and Brian McCormick. And yeah, so sort of through them, I'm sure we will also be showing up and doing some work related to Greene County as well.
And if you just tuned in, we're speaking with Jonathan Bix, the executive director of the For the Many activist group, which has been based in Dutchess, Orange, and Ulster County, and is now planning to come to Columbia County. Jonathan, is there anything we left out that you want to tell people and remind people of the website again, too, for more information?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything significant that we've left out. We're just very excited to hopefully be expanding to Hudson and Columbia County and Greene County as per our discussion in the near future. And if folks want to help make that happen, they should find us at forthemany.org, sign up for our email list, and again, follow us at forthemany on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. But I think that's it. So thanks so much for having me on, Tom.
All right. Thank you. Jonathan Bix with the For the Many activist group announcing February 27th, they're coming to Columbia County. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks. Have a good one.
All right. You are listening to the radio WGXC 90.7 FM. Today, the De La Soul catalog reaches streaming services, so you can hear 3 Feet High and Rising as many times as you want if you subscribe to some sort of service. Here is De La Soul with Me, Myself, and I. From Catskill, this next song is Ain't From Mississippi by Catskill's Lex Gray and the Urban Pioneers.
I ain't from Mississippi. Growing up, I honestly didn't think having a dad was anywhere near necessary. My mom provided everything I could need from a parent, and then the thought of who or what my dad could bring to the table was something I could leave to my imagination.
Every second I collected heartbreaks. All together, every single head shakes. Shut your eyes, but it won't.
Dad Workshop will help you find the perfect dad. No more broken promises or having to shrug your shoulders when others ask where he is. Please, please press 1 if you're looking for a temporary dad who can act as a representative for a school or work-related issue. Press 2 if you're looking for a semi-frequent dad who can have up to